People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. Now, the Loting Alexander Musical Theatre Academy, LAMPTA for short, is presenting the highly anticipated musical Spring Awakening. And this groundbreaking musical garnered 8 Tony Awards on Broadway. It's set in late 19th century Germany, and the musical follows a group of students on their journey to adulthood, exploring sexuality, self-discovery, and rebellion against oppressive societal forms. It's been described as challenging traditional musical theatre boundaries. So it sounds quite interesting, and in fact, you might have seen it when it had a short run towards the end of last year. Now it's back for the big time at the Theatre on the Bay. It opened on the 8th of March and runs to the 6th of April. In the studio with me are the two directors of LAMPTA, Anton Loting and Dwayne Alexander, who are here to tell me not only about LAMPTA, but about this musical. Gentlemen, welcome. It's good to have
you. Thanks, Rodney. Always good to be here.
And you're all both smiling serenely, so that means you're excited about this, because it sounds as though it really is something. I know in this business we always try and promote things and say it's the greatest thing and the best thing, but it sounds as though this is really something.
Yeah, I mean, we're very, very proud of this production, not only because it's LAMPTA's first musical that we've produced.
Is it really?
It is. We've been around for 5 years. We started in 2019, but we've curated little review shows, sort of a very bespoke musicals that we've created ourselves, but this is our first official book musical, and we're just immensely proud of the production and what LAMPTA's managed to achieve in its very short lifespan.
Okay, I want to speak to you in more detail about LAMPTA in a moment, but let's just concentrate on Spring Awakening at the moment. Does that mean that all the cast members have passed through your academy?
Right, so it's interesting because our first choice was to pick a musical that was appropriate for students. And, you know, given the themes and the concept behind Spring Awakening, it was the perfect choice because you have an opportunity to take these youngsters who are at exactly the right age to play these roles. We have two professionals that are joining us. We can chat about that later. So they give a little bit of sort of gravitas in the adult roles versus what these teenagers are going through, because, of course, it's all about the relationship between parents and adolescents and what they prepare to tell their kids and not prepare to tell their kids. And we just thought, what a wonderful musical to kick off with. And many of the students are either third years or second years, or in this case, because we're going into the professional run now, we've included some of our LAMPTA graduates. So, very exciting project for us.
How did you discover this musical? It's garnered 8 Tony Awards, apparently. Where did it come from? When I saw the publicity, I thought, Spring Awakening? I've never heard of it. So how do you discover a musical like this?
Sure. I mean, I think being musical theatre geeks, as we would like to proclaim, Spring Awakening has always been on our radar.
So you've known about it for a while.
Yes, of course. Yeah, it was a massive sensation when it ran on Broadway in 2007, 2008. It launched the careers of people like Lea Michele, who is famous from Glee, has just played Funny Girl on Broadway. It also launched the career of Jonathan Groff, who's gone on to do wonderful, wonderful things, and probably most recently played in Hamilton as King George. So, we've always known of the musical. We've always been very interested in the music. We love the music. We love the story. We love the juxtaposition of this old story, set in the 19th century, but told in a very contemporary way. So, the music is not old-fashioned at all. It's actually quite a sort of an indie rock score.
Okay. I was going to ask you about the music. Mm-hmm. What's an indie rock? I was just wondering what sort of music.
It's really, what's so astounding about it is that the old school world of the 19th century is really where they focus on the parents and the kind of traditions of the time. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you go into the mind and the thought of the youngsters, it goes into this very contemporary rock sound. Oh. And that's what's so incredible about it, is that you have this rock score that lives in the world of the 19th century.
That's quite weird.
And I think that was really what drew everyone's attention to this piece, and the fact that it was based on Frank Wedekind's novel, which was banned because, of course,
controversial.
It's all about parents telling their kids that the stork brings the children to the home.
Don't tell me I've been wrong.
There's a couple of surprises in store for you when you come to watch Spring Awakening. What is lovely about it is that it's so honest. It's told like sort of from the mouth of babes, and you, like Anton says, you get into into their psyche and you get into their understanding of themselves, you know, discovering themselves, whether it's their sexual identity, whether it's their place in the world. It's just a coming of age story, and it's a really beautiful, harrowing, tragic story, but told in the most beautiful way. And this particular production is just aesthetically just so beautiful that it really, yeah.
You've got a lovely director with Sylvain Strike, haven't you?
Who is
really quite a director.
Sure. And her first musical as well. So it was really a lovely collaborative effort.
Wow.
You know, she was calling on us to say, you know, steer me if I'm going a little off, you know, left or field. And we also just, you know, we entrusted her and her process. We've seen her work. She is a lecturer at Lambda. So it just felt like a really a lovely sort of marriage between what she does with our students in terms of discovering and creating different vocabularies of different languages of how you can do things on stage. Mm-hmm. And we wanted this production to be a little different. So, yeah, I think it was a perfect blend.
Doesn't she, yep, Sylvain, have some speciality in movement of some kind? I seem to remember, because I've interviewed her a couple of times. She's got some, comes from France, possibly?
So, yes,
Am I getting confused?
The Jacques Lecoq School.
That's the Jacques Lecoq.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's have a music break. I was interested when you two chose music that you said each of the pieces you've chosen for this program, you've had something to do with the show that it comes from.
That's
is that right?
Yeah.
And Cats is first up.
So, yes, so we've kind of, I guess, picked milestones in our collective careers. You know, Anton and I met 22-odd years ago when we first did Cats here at the Artscape Theatre, Peter Tureen's production, which was one of the first musicals that came here and did a South African cast, you know, of these international shows. So we met on that show and we traveled the world for 4 and a bit years with the show. So it holds a very special place for both of us. And yeah, we just thought it would be remiss not to include something from Cats.
And its memory.
Well, yep. Yeah.
Well, we thought, what would the listeners like to hear?
Of course.
And of course, Elaine Page's version of Memory is just always goose flesh inducing. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, a good choice with what?
Smell of morning, a street light.
the remarkable Elaine Page with that well-known song Memory from Cats, the musical Cats, the first choice of my two guests on Persons of Note today. And Anton Lating and Dwayne Alexander are here. They are directors at Lambda. And they're putting on their first musical, is what we're talking about, called Spring Awakening. Tremendous amount of excitement following that. I would like to talk – oh, there was one question I was going to ask you, Dwayne, before we went to the music. Is it the sort of show that appeals to all ages? In other words, parents won't feel uncomfortable. They'll love it. The youngsters will love it.
Absolutely. We do have a PG-13 on it because of some of the themes, obviously. But yes, I mean, I think it's wonderful if a parent and their child, a teenager, late teens, early 20s, can come and watch the show together.
And not cringe.
I don't know. I mean, we had a short run at the end of last year, which is our normal, our Lambda slot. And we had people coming out and, you know, for a second, it might feel a bit like, oh, this is going to be a bit strange watching this with my mom or my dad. But I think they come out of the theater being really grateful that they've had that experience together because it's more than just those awkward topics. You know, it's such it evokes so many emotions and touches on so many things that, like I said, are great conversation starters, actually, you know, and for topics that people don't necessarily talk about around the dinner table. So, you know, if they can sort of, if Spring Awakening can be a conduit to sort of get to talking about, okay, so, you know, sexual identity, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying that this is going to make people feel comfortable in coming out. But, you know, it touches on so many things that are so relevant to teens and to young adults that it's difficult to kind of just, I guess, put the blinkers on and just go on with one's life.
And the music clearly is very important. But now tell me a little bit about your music director, Amy Campbell, an integral part, I would have thought.
Oh, absolutely. We love Amy Campbell. Amy Campbell is a performer in her own right, but also very joyously for the two of us, one of our vocal coaches at Lambda. And, you know, the transformation that she does with the singing voices of our students that come there in the three-year course is just remarkable. And, you know, testament to that is how many of them are jumping into the big shows. You know, they come out, they graduate, they audition for the big music, and they just hold their own in such a beautiful way. And specifically from a singing perspective, both her and Kurt Haupton, Karen Malhadba, are such an integral part of Lambda. And Amy fell in love with Spring Awakening, I think, when she saw it in Australia, and said to me that her whole life, that was her dream to musically direct this show. And so the minute she heard it was on the cards, I mean, she barged into my office and said, I am the musical director, please.
She kind of employed herself, to be honest.
She did, actually.
But,
you clearly didn't object.
No, I mean, she's just such a talented and a force of nature as well. I mean, she comes in there and everyone loves her. You know, she's just on and off the stage, you know, when Amy's around, and it's fantastic. And she has a wonderful rapport with the students. You know, she's like a mom to them. And I think the thing was also, you know, the process of getting through the show, both Sylvain, all the creatives, you know, had to kind of really nurture the performers through it because it's, you know, some tough material. And something I wanted to say earlier was it's also actually a very funny show. And
yes, because Dwayne, you said about suicide and all that, and I was getting all depressed here, but I also know that it's meant to be quite funny.
Yes,
totally.
Yes,
and again, Sylvain has picked out those moments that, you know, are lighter and more fun. And particularly with the two adult characters, you know, who are the oppressors, you know, they play all the authority figures, I beg your pardon. They play the, you know, the school teachers, the headmasters, the parents, you know, the doctors, the abortions, etc. So they could be kind of the sort of the dark element in the show, but Sylvain has very cleverly made them something a little bit lighter, not losing any power or any of that gravitas, but just something that you can chuckle at and go like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. But as is the case with awkward teenagers, you know, you laugh at you see yourself as a youngster there, and it's hilarious to look at how these teenagers are coping with themselves and the world and around them, you know. And so from that perspective, it's really enjoyable on top of the sort of powerful message that's there. Anyway, so Amy was very integral into the musical directing. And then, of course, our two choreographers, Dwayne, you can talk about
We're thrilled that the creative team is all sort of associated with the Lambda as well. Neil has designed many productions for us, but our two choreographers are graduates. One of them quite recent. She was actually in her third year when we did created the production last year. It's Nalene Quinzen. And then Anna Olafide is a recent graduate. She graduated the year before. I had paired them together. They both did my choreography elective. I'd paired them together for a project in our first dance show, or at least a dance show in 2022, and then again last year, and both of their pieces resonated really well with the audiences. They loved it, and I loved their style. And I just thought they would be really great for this particular project. And they've done a stupendous job. I think they're really...
But you are quite known as a choreographer, aren't you?
So yes, especially recently I've been doing quite a lot of choreography work. Yeah. I've worked on Sound of Music. I'm busy doing Mamma Mia as we speak. And because of my sort of professional schedule being quite busy, I also thought perhaps it would be better for me to rather supervise Spring Awakening and hand it over to girls, these two young ladies that I trust would do a great job with the material mm-hmm. and with the vocabulary and the style of the show. Mm-hmm. And it was a great decision that Ant and I made to hand that over. And they've done fantastically well. I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of how they just took on board this rather massive undertaking, and the fact that it's now sort of, you know, running a second time and going to go to Joburg, it's great exposure for them as young choreographers. Sure. I have a lot of hope for them as young up and coming choreographers.
Is it energetic? Is it sort of to watch? Is it quite an energetic show to
absolutely.
Watch?
Absolutely.
Choreography-wise, let alone
yes,
musically.
Yes, very much so. So you have, you know, again, you have 20 young teenagers on stage.
Oh, yeah. It's a big cast.
It's a big cast, yeah. And, you know, there are some absolutely delicious group numbers from a choreographic perspective, you know. Mm-hmm. So sitting in the Theatre on the Bay audience, as you know, it's already an intimate show.
Yes,
just really feel, you know, it's climbs into you, this show, in so many ways.
And the numbers that aren't like hard rock, when I say hard rock, you know, that indie rock, there's these beautiful sort of contemporary indie folk ballads, you know, and again, sort of particularly the two choreographers, Nalin and Anna, brought on like this beautiful contemporary language, you know, which was so beautiful with, you know, it's again, aesthetically a feast for the eyes.
It is, and your set something that Neil designed, of course, is sort of hangs over you.
I know, I wanted to ask you about that, because apparently he's gone for the sort of green, green in a sense,
very eco-friendly.
Exactly. Yeah, I think all the materials that he used were natural materials.
Natural fibers, you know, all the costumes are made of natural fibers, natural vegetable dyes, the set is all completely made of wood and steel, you know, it's very, very eco-friendly and very organic. And what I loved when Neil presented his pitch for the set to us is that these things, particularly the material, they hold memory. And I just thought that was something really beautiful for a show like this, you know, uh-huh. that is so organic and it comes from an emotional place that, you know, these natural fibers are actually scientifically known to hold memory. And I just thought that was something that
How do you mean hold memory?
I guess just that the process that they go through, there's something in the fiber that, like, they remember that they were washed 10 weeks ago and died. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. there's something, they're not, it's not just, it's not synthesized, it's not synthetic.
It's brand new.
It's brand new, and it just looks so beautiful as well. You know, the fact that they all look like they're in a school uniform, possibly sort of concentration campish, you know, the fact that there's a lot of oppression around them. And yet all very individual, you know, if you look carefully, there's subtleties to the looks of the costumes and the colouring and the dyeing process. And, yeah, just a vast amount of thought and love and energy that went into this design and the manufacture of these costumes.
And Neil, you know, he's the production designer, so he also designed the lighting. Mm. And
Of course he would.
So from a costume set and lighting perspective, the kind of symbiosis and cohesion between all these elements is just absolutely brilliant. What he does with light is fantastic because, of course, you as Duane says, in this very oppressive society, but through the cracks, you know, as they start to discover themselves and discover, you know, this kind of spring awakening, so to speak, is the light seeps through the cracks of the set.
It's a perfect title,
really,
isn't it,
beautiful.
By the sounds of things.
It is beautiful.
For what you saying it's all about, spring awakening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's a very clever title, and it speaks to a lot of things, you know, just not just the sexual awakening or the sort of coming of age, but just, you know, the fact that, like, every year spring comes around, and so that's probably why this story has become so universal and so, just ongoing.
Another piece of music, please, gentlemen. Celine Dion.
Yes,
and Eva Bryson,
Our next one was a show that kind of launched my career as a performer, and it was when I played the Beast in Beauty and the Beast. Yes,
one of your big moments, that wasn't it?
It definitely
big
was, and such a wonderful opportunity to work with, you know, the Disney brand, and it really was like the show was the bells and whistles. I mean, it really kind of was jaw dropping, and as a performer, you know, the responsibility, and to work out how does one take this very famous cartoon, an animated movie, and turn the Beast into a real living, breathing thing. So it really was a big deal, and of course, you know, what a beautiful duet that the two of them sing, and that's Beauty and the Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
Celine Dion here.
And Peebo Bryson, that's it.
Okay.
Sit can be.
Celine Dion and Peebo Bryson in Beauty and the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. And it was the second choice of my two guests on People of Note this week, who are Anton Leighting and Dwayne Alexander, who are directors of LAMTA, the Leighting Alexander Musical Theatre Academy, which I'd like to talk about now, because how long have you in fact been in existence, first of all, before I ask you the background?
So we launched LAMTA in 2019. Was our first year of operation.
Okay. Gosh, as obviously, recently as that, it somehow seems to be running forever. And now you're producing all these stars.
In a blink of an eye, it's been strangely, the time warp is real. But obviously we'd taken a year or two to plan it, and Mr. Peter Tureen was quite instrumental in the sort of, the inner workings of how it would work and how it would come together.
And in fact, your studio is above the Theatre on the Bay, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think that was one of the sort of big catalysts for Peter, was to say, you know, he wanted his theatre to be more than just a theatre. He wanted to leave a legacy. He wanted to make sure that, you know, we were producing talent that could be fed into the industry, not just the theatre downstairs, but the industry as a whole.
Which makes such a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and what he's gotten was a building that is alive with the sound of music, literally from 8:30 in the morning until late at night.
Oh, really?
Okay. And it's wonderful because it feels really like a, you know, this brimming full of talent, you know, and the synergy between downstairs and the professionals on the stage and the students upstairs is just absolutely amazing. You know, they get to see all the shows downstairs, the performers downstairs come up and give masterclasses. There's just this wonderful collaboration. And, you know, and you can imagine for a student to be studying firstly at the theater on the bay with this incredible Camps Bay view,
yes,
doesn't feel like they're studying actually at times. And
it could be a problem.
It could be a problem.
It
no, could I think they're soon reminded, you know, when they're.
Oh yeah, when the ballet class starts at 8:30, but then you know it is again being able to, you know, they usher downstairs and being able to then see the work that's on the Theatre on the Bay on a regular basis. It's just
that's a good idea to make them ushers. That's a very good idea. Immerse them in the theatre,
absolutely,
and also getting to know the audience, mingling with the audience,
correct,
exactly, and just the inner workings of how a theatre works, because you know that's a sort of consistent job that we have our Lambda students do at the Theatre on the Bay. But every time we have a production, or for production that isn't Lambda's production but calls for, you know, an extra pair of hands on stage, or maybe a dresser or something,
stage
somebody to help do something, we run a very small theatre technology module, and we often provide some of the talent there as well. So
what did you set out to do? I mean, clearly what you did set out to do, you are doing, and doing well.
Yes.
So it was to train people in all assets or facets of the theatre, whether you're an actor, singer, dancer, the triple threat thing.
Exactly. Most specifically the triple threat thing. It was, you know, creating singers who could dance and could act, and actors who could sing, and, you know, like the whole package. That is our primary focus. But there have been some wonderful byproducts. Some students have, for example, through our theatre technology course, proven themselves as really, you know, astute stage managers with a lot of skill and a lot of talent in that department. And so we've encouraged it, and we've put them in touch with various people. And they've, you know, in fact, one of our graduates is currently the stage manager of Sound of Music at the Teatro in Monte Cassino. You know, she's all of 23 or 24 years old. And
it is quite an achievement.
Yeah, so we, and another one of them is operating the lights for us. So we see them going into different facets of the theatre. But certainly our primary focus and what we on paper are offering is a triple threat training.
Yeah.
Which
you have to do these days as well, don't you, in modern theatre with dance and musicals and all that.
Look, musical theatre was always our passion, and you can see that from our song choices.
Yes.
But, you know, we set out to say, look, musical theatre is kind of our forte, but we're opening a performing arts school. This is not just musical theatre. We're not teaching acting for musical theatre or dancing for musical theatre. If you come to Lambda, you're training as an actor. And our incredible acting faculty, you know, spearheaded by Professor Chris Weir, it's just remarkable. And as a result, you know, the student playing Juliet at Maynardville now is a Lambda student. You know, so it's not to say that because you came to Lambda, you can only do musicals. In fact, quite the contrary.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you said that, because I must confess that I did think it was to do with music or the triple threat thing. But how many people do you take in a year?
So we aim for about 20 a year, sometimes a little bit more, but sometimes a little bit less, depending on who we find. You know,
is there a demand, or do you have to go out looking for people?
So in the beginning, we were very much sort of trying to get ourselves established, and people were kind of, what is Lambda? Who is Lambda? And so we were scouring quite hard and fast, but this year seems to be going in the same direction. But last year, by the time we did our second round of auditions in April, May, we had found our 22 students and pushed it to 22, even though we said 20. So I think definitely the reputation of Lambda is building, and people are seeing our graduates now on platforms like Maynardville, on TV, on movies, and certainly on the stages. You know, we had a number of students in Buddy Holly, about 7 or 8 in The Sound of Music, including the alternate Maria, who is a Lambda graduate. And in Mamma Mia, we again have 7 or 8 students, you know. So, so Lambda is definitely spreading its tentacles and getting in there, and people are seeing that and realizing, oh, that's a really great caliber of performer.
So, do you have, you said it's 3 years, you have a 3-year course.
Correct.
And like a university course, these people go to different lectures with these various people you have.
Absolutely.
And it sounds also, talking about Professor Chris Weir and others, that you've got some rather well-established people doing lecturing for you.
Yeah, it's a sensational faculty. I must tell you, if I was around, if I was a youngster wanting to go into the arts, I was like, wow, look at that faculty. You know, Shirley Johnston, Sylvain Strike, and Chris Weir are our 3 acting coaches, and they're just not only remarkable in terms of their own professional work as directors or performers, but as teachers, they are just incredible. You know, and I've always believed that acting is at the heart of everything that you do. And I always say, you can see when a dancer is an actor, and the intention and the storytelling through their body movement is can be told. And the same with acting through song. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just singing. And so that's a really important aspect for us. But the students go through 22 modules at Lambda. You can't pick and choose what you want to do. It's not like we have a, you know, a dance major or a singing major. If you come to Lambda and you're one of the 20, you need to do everything, including theater technology, and find yourself a follow spot operator operating. And, you know, so from that perspective, it is a very, very tough course. We've had students whose girlfriends or boyfriends are studying a medical degree, and they've said, we don't work as hard as you do at Lambda.
Really?
And we're like, yeah, well, that's the performing arts for you, you know. Yeah. And it's tough. And we in particularly chose it to be a three-year course on the, you know, and we get them to promise us that they're going to work super hard in 3 years, because actually we could keep them for longer. That's the nature of the arts training. You know, you can train them for 4 or 5 years, but we try and get them out there as fast as we can.
So what sort of age can they come in, sort of school leaving age?
Exactly right. So the majority of our students have just finished matric.
Okay.
Some of them take a gap year and then come to us. And there are a few exceptions of students who come to us a little bit younger, 16 or 17, okay. And we do make that exception on certain.
And do you run auditions for them, or how do you
Absolutely.
Know, look, this person is not going to work with this person's got something,
Absolutely.
As you just
yeah.
said, Anton,
yes.
with body.
It's very important to us that, you know, I think it's extremely unfair to say to a young student, look, you're talented, you're super great, we'll put you on stages one day, when it's not the truth.
Yeah.
You know, so
as hard as it might be.
Exactly.
Sure.
As hard as it might be. It's too tough out there, you know. Mm. So we're very, very sure that there is something remarkable about this person when they walk into Lambda, that we know we can mold and turn into someone truly professional who stands a good chance of working in the profession. Mm-hmm. You know, so we limit it to the 20, and they know that if they're there, that they have our backing, and that we see something truly remarkable about them, and then the hard work starts.
And I mean, I just want to talk about the 13 graduates that we just said goodbye to a couple of weeks ago. 13 of them are going straight into work, which is, I think, something that not most institutions can boast. You know,
yeah.
all 13
that is
of them
to be very
had something professional yeah. either lined up or they'd already started. And yeah, I think, yeah, like I said, yeah, we pick them very selectively and we train them very specifically, and then we send them out into the world.
It's working. Another piece of music, please, gentlemen. And what is this now?
Sure. Well, one of the sort of iconic roles that I'd always have loved as a young boy watching, you know, those iconic MGM movies is Singing in the Rain with Don Lockwood, Gene Kelly. And I thought for something a little bit up-tempo, upbeat, one of my favorite numbers to perform in the show when I play the role is Moses Opposes. I love my tap dancing, and this is an iconic tap dance from this iconic musical. So, yeah, Moses Opposes from Singing in the Rain.
Moses supposes his toes are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously. But
Moses, he noses, his toes aren't roses, as Moses supposes his toes to be.
Moses supposes his toes are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously.
A mose is a mose.
A rose is a rose.
A toes is a toes.
Hoop-de-doody-doody, Moses supposes his toes are roses, but Moses supposes erroneously. Moses, he noses, his toes aren't roses, as Moses supposes his toes to be.
Moses supposes his toes are roses. Moses supposes erroneously.
Moses supposes his toes to be roses, 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 roses. For Moses supposes his toes couldn't be a lily or a daffodilly. It's gotta be a rose, cause it rhymes with Mose. Moses! Moses! Moses!
Shall we?
Why not?
song from Singing in the Rain with Adam Cooper and Daniel Crossley there. A choice of one of my guests here, Dwayne Alexander, who with Anton Loting run the Loting Alexander Musical Theatre Academy, LAMTA, and who are putting on the show Spring Awakening that we're talking about. That's on now at the theatre. It's on the Bay, official opening on the 8th of March, running to the 6th of April. It sounds as though we should go and see it. What do you think?
Most certainly.
Please do. Do yourself the favor and come and watch. I'm not going to beg you to come watch a show, but you won't regret it. It really is. Yeah, just such
yeah no, it does sound. It sounds quite different also from run-of-the-mill musicals, if there is such a thing.
And of course, what was wonderful about it is that we had a little pre-run.
Yes,
because it was part of our end-of-year student production.
Yeah.
I mean, who puts on a student production this big? I mean, only the craziness of Dwayne and I. But it gave us some wonderful feedback in terms of, I mean, the critics absolutely loved it. I mean, from a review perspective, we were like, gosh, I mean, they couldn't stop talking about it, which is very exciting, because then it sort of said, yes, well, we must bring it back so more people can see it. And it was just really, really wonderful to see, you know, again, a musical theater piece that has such a strong message resonating with, you know, teachers and parents. And as a result, as I said earlier, a lot of teachers have brought their students now, booked for this new season, bringing 30, 40 students.
A lot of high school
children,
yes. Because
They're the ones really that it's aiming at,
correct.
And need to hear it and want to hear it. And in fact, the reason I think the show did so well on Broadway is it created a bit of a cult following, you know, with that young sort of teenage, early adult audience. It just hits all the right buttons.
Talking about the people that you get in, is it a cross-section of male, female, color, whatever?
Absolutely.
That age,
extremely diverse.
Age.
Yeah, extremely diverse. And yeah, I don't think it's more male or female dominant. It was very, very spread. It is lovely to look in the audience and see such an eclectic mix of people. And, and whether you're the 13-year-old daughter or the 33 or 43-year-old mom, you know, all of them weeping, a little tear, or guffawing, you know, the dad especially loves one particular scene. I don't want to call it family entertainment, but it is something that, you know, with your teenager, you can come and watch and really appreciate.
I just want to go back to the music briefly. Is there an orchestra on stage? Is it pipe music? Or how do the actors sing?
Oh, yes.
They're actually singing.
Oh, very much so. It's you know, I think
so. That might be a bit of a naive question, but you never know these
fair
days.
Fair enough. I mean, and like Anton was saying earlier, you know, it's set in this very sort of provincial German town in the late 1800s, and then all of a sudden in this, well, not this version, but I suppose traditionally, you know, they pull out a handheld mic and they sing this rock song. So the singing is very much live and very much real. And we don't have a real orchestra. Sadly, don't have the space for it or the budget. So we are doing this to a track. Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, I think it's a good question, because people always listen to music and great singing and they go, oh, is this real? Is this real? And I'm like, of course it is. You know, one of our modules that we teach at LAMTA is musical theater integration. And that is your ability to combine singing and dancing and acting. So for example, to do a song where you have to kick your leg up in cats and blast out a top G and still pretend to be a cat. I mean, people think it's, you know, it is. Is
real.
Really, it's like, you know, juggling.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but therefore they are being tested or whatever on everything you've taught them.
Absolutely.
Singing, juxtaposing with music.
Correct.
Acting.
It's a wonderful opportunity to combine their talents, all their various skills that they've learned, you know, independently: the singing, the acting, the dancing, integrating it all in together to do a musical, and not just a test of their abilities, but also a wonderful showcase of their abilities. You know, this is a young, beautiful cast, you know, doing exactly what they've been trained to do, doing exactly what they've dreamt of doing. I think some of that is very palpable when you watch the show as well. You get a lot of passion coming off that stage, a lot of love coming off that stage. If you were to do this professionally, you wouldn't cast anybody differently, because it's all of this age of high caliber talent. So, and people have said this sort of almost at every LAMTA production they come to watch, you know, they go, you know, on paper it says Leighton Alexander Musical Theatre Academy, so you think it's a student show, but they are blown away. They are literally, they can't believe it's not a professional show.
These people that are in this particular production of Spring Awakening, are they finished with you now, or are they still doing courses?
Some of. So when we did the production last year, we had about 7 or 8 who were in their third year. It was a wonderful way for them to finish their training, sort of a culmination of the years with us. Obviously, this is now almost 3 months later, so they have graduated. They graduated at the end of January. But they are still part of the production. So, you know, Anton and I are, as producers, taking it on. We're now paying them as professionals. And the students who were in their first or second year are now coming into second and third year. So there are, it's a combination of current students, recent graduates, and then some graduates from a year or two ago, plus the two professional actors who played.
It must be a sort of mixed feeling, sad to say goodbye to people who've done well, and yet so thrilled to see them on stage in these productions.
Like you said, Mamma Mia, The Sound of Music. Because they become your children.
Yes,
you like their dads to them, and that sort of relationship doesn't stop 5-6 years into, you know, again, our first years that came into Lambda, who are now 3-4 years out of Lambda. You know, you bump into them and it's like, you know, seeing your long lost child.
We'll bump into them, we'll still work with them, you know.
Yes,
there are a number of
yes.
them who, because we're also actively involved in the productions for Peter Turin or for Hazel Feldman, you know, we get to work with them, and it's wonderful to, you know, have coached them and have nurtured them through training and then sort of help, you know, sort of launch them into their first show and mm-hmm. be there for them as a confidant if they need that. I mean, they're so well prepared that we almost feel a bit redundant by the time they've been, you know, they leave us. But
one question I've not asked you, which is a bit stupid of me, is what do you two do? Do you train and teach, or are you supervisory producers? Do you get your hands dirty with the
very dirty?
Yes, very we always.
So you are working and
definitely,
working.
You know,
teaching.
We always say it's you know, the percentage breakdown of what Dwayne and I do is it's 30% admin. And 30% teaching, and then 40% dealing with the mental health of youngsters.
Some counseling, some guidance, and some mentorship, which is part of the course.
Yeah, because they're in an environment which they love clearly,
absolutely.
And which they feel at home, absolutely. And presumably.
And yeah. I think it also sets Lambda apart a little bit, because you're not just a commodity, not just a number. You know, we've handpicked you.
Yes,
we care about you.
True.
If you're not at Lambda, we want to know that you're okay. We want to know why. If you're struggling with something, we want to help you. If something's not working, you know, I'm saying it's very much a hands-on approach. And you know, unlike maybe being at a big university where you're one of thousands of people, if you're not there for 1, 2, 3 weeks, people don't know, don't care. And, you know, we're almost the opposite. We care a little too much.
giving you grey hair. Oops. What I was going to say, let's take one more piece, another piece of music before I leave you. Josh Groban, Both Sides, duet with Sarah Bareilles.
Yes. So Sarah Bareilles wrote the music for a fabulous musical called Waitress, mm-hmm. which I think, again, young people will absolutely know and love. Mm-hmm. And there's a wonderful duet that they do from a song called Both Sides Now, which mm-hmm. Joni Mitchell made famous.
The famous Both Sides
yes.
Now.
Yes, Both Sides Now. Exactly.
And
so what's really lovely about this recording is that Josh Groban is a recording artist and very popular and well-known. Sarah Bareilles, in her own right, is a beautiful recording artist in the sort of commercial fields. But they have both crossed over into musical theatre, which, and, you know, their voices certainly, you know, lend themselves so beautifully to the song. But this song, particularly from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, is another show that Anton and I worked together. And in fact, it was the opening night of Priscilla that we got engaged. So it has a very special
place. Gosh, you've been doing all these stage relationships. Okay, let's listen to this.
Care, don't let them know. still somehow, it's love's illusions I recall.
I really don't know love at all.
Tears and fears, I'm feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way.
But now old friends, they're acting strange. They shake their heads, they say I've changed.
Well, something's lost, but something's gained. You with me every from both sides now, from win or lose, and still somehow,
it's life's illusions I recall.
I really don't know life. I've looked at life from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow, it's life's illusions I recall.
Both Sides Now, the song that was made so famous by Joni Mitchell, there with Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles. And yet another choice of two guests on Persons of Note this week, Anton Loating and Dwayne Alexander. Just, we're approaching the end of the program now, and a couple of things I wanted to just say. Have you got a good intake, for example, for this year? Are you nice and full? Here we are in February. Have you started this year already?
The students who started with us in January are doing super well. I think they're overwhelmed at
everything that's going on.
Exactly. It's exciting for them because they're spending their 8:30 until 5, not doing, you know, the maths and the geographies and the things that they have to do at school, but they're doing all the subjects that they absolutely love and improving their skills and learning so much and meeting so many great people. And we start auditions for our 2025 intake in about a month, and we really have a number of applications that have come through.
How do people know about you? Is it word of mouth mostly through the theatre world and
media? I guess if somebody really wants to do the performing arts, and you know, I'm always a firm believer that it chooses you actually, you kind of go and start searching and say what's available and what's around. And Instagram account is very vibrant.
Do you get students from elsewhere in the country?
We do. I'd say about 50% come from Cape Town, and the other 50 spread between Johannesburg, Pretoria, Durban, Bloemfontein.
So they come down here as you would come to university.
Exactly.
Going to res or something like that.
Exactly. It's a really great year because we have a wonderful combination of boys and girls, or guys and dolls, so to speak.
Yes.
So sort of, you know, like it's a great year because we've got a nice, strong bunch of boys. So.
Mm-hmm. And now the excitement, I think, as well for the people is that after this run, which ends on the 6th of April, you're going up to Monte Cassino in Johannesburg.
That's right.
Which is going to be a whole new world, really, because Johannesburg is such a different world.
Absolutely.
And these youngsters are going to be exposed to yet another audience and yet another sort of dynamic, aren't they?
Yeah. We took our Beatles show, actually, last year, which was our dance show, and we took that up to Johannesburg, and the students had the time of their lives.
It's a great experience for them as well, you know. Even as a young emerging artist, you know, to get that experience of touring and, you know, living
absolutely,
in a different place and performing a
living
very
out
specific
of the suitcase.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, and you know, Anton and I did that for 15, 16 years, you know, traveling.
Well,
certainly more.
I was just going to ask you, Dwayne, how much acting do you two get a chance to do now? Or
sure.
Not?
Personally, not that much on stage. If the right role comes along on the right show, I'm sure we would love to put our names in the hat. But certainly, you know, in the last 7 or 8 years of our careers, we were doing more of the creative management side of things.
Oh,
so
okay.
Anton largely as a resident director, myself as a resident choreographer. And so we still try to keep our fingers in those pies and still, you know, and I think the same is true with our entire faculty. We really love the fact that our faculty are still hands-on. You know, they're still performing, they're still directing, they're
important.
Still doing
very
things in the industry.
Yeah.
They still very much have their finger on the pulse of what's required and what's happening. And the same is true for Anton I. So at the moment, I'm busy choreographing Mamma Mia. We'll both be working on Peter Turing's production at the end of this year. So, you know, we're balancing all of that, our personal performance and creative agendas, and also running LAMTA, which is a full-time job. A little earlier you asked what we do at LAMTA, and I don't know if we actually answered the question. Anton teaches ensemble singing.
Yeah, and audition prep.
Audition preparation, and I teach the jazz syllabus, the tap syllabus, and musical theater we
and
do
we together
do as together, a group.
Yeah.
And when you're at home together,
we're preparing classes for the next day.
Not listening to musicals, I hope. Listening to
only only if we
it.
Need to be looking for
of
material
course.
For our groups to do.
Of
but
course,
yes, we do spend a lot of our time listening to.
Thanks for being such entertaining guests. We've got to finish it now. But you, not before I let you, or not before I ask you to play us something from Spring Awakening.
Yes. So,
are we going to hear?
This is a song called The Song of Purple Summer. And it is the last number in the show. We won't tell you why it's the last number in the show, but you can hear from the lyrics possibly how it sums everything up and how there's just this joyous celebration of youth in the end. And it is really the most moving, beautiful moment, one of them in the show for me.
A bit like a lot of the shows and a lot of the songs in the show, it's very poetic. You know, the lyrics are so exquisite. And in the score, I think it's written as the coda. You know, this whole song is kind of standalone. It doesn't really, yeah. You know, it sort of sums up the whole musical, like Anton says. Unfortunately, this recording doesn't have a little preamble beforehand, but it really is such a beautiful way to sort of tie a bow around the show and help you understand the process.
A bow on the show, that's an old expression. Gosh,
really?
Thank you very much. And certainly you've whet our appetites to go and see Spring Awakening. It's running at the Theatre on the Bay. The official opening with the press and all that is on the 13th of March, but it is up and running now, and it runs to the 6th of April. And I've been talking to the directors of LAMTA, the Loting Alexander Musical Theatre Academy, and that is Anton Loting and Dwayne Alexander. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Thank
Always
you for having us. Yes, it's been a delight.
And all shall fade, the flowers of spring, the world and all the sorrow at the heart of everything. But still it stays, the butterfly sings. Opens purple summer with the flutter of its wings. The earth will wave with calm. The great fly choir will mourn. And mirrors will neigh with stars.
Wander.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions. FMR.